time for Cigar Talk, the fastest growing cigar show in the nation. Whether you're a new cigar enthusiast or a cigar aficionado, we have something for everyone, bringing you the best interviews, cigar reviews. So grab yourself a cigar.
It's time to light them up.
Welcome back to Cigar Talk. I'm your host, Rob Jones, and we got the great, the one and only Brian Falconer, co-host. What's up, bro?
Hey, man, what's up? Today we have the Pick Six, as usual.
Pick Six, I'm ready to rock and roll, lock and loaded.
And the Brian's Bullshit News is going to talk
gotta
about a few things.
Got to hear the Brian's Bullshit News.
It's going to be about underrated bourbons.
Oh, you know what? I am a big fan of underrated.
Oh, we know.
You know what I'm not a fan of?
What was that?
Overrated bourbons.
I've seen that. And the way you react to that is, the bottle is done. As soon as you get a sip, put the top back on, anybody want it? Anybody
well,
want
that,
it?
To me, that's a bad bourbon.
Yeah.
There's good bourbons that are still overhyped.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go out here and probably piss some people off, because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. But Heaven Hill Ball and Bond.
Okay.
Why is it now? I mean, if you can find it, it's like they have normally now pricing it in the $50 to $60 range. Uh-huh. It used to be $45, mm-hmm. which I thought was a little bit on the high side.
But
because
that
when you look
the
at the
side.
Other Ball and Bonds, I mean, you got the Evan Williams.
Yes.
And then you've got the, what are we drinking today? The Early Times.
Yes, sir.
Ball and Bond. Or the Old Tub. Ball. Okay, mm-hmm. You know what? We'll get into that.
Yes, later. So, and then we're talking about the new Monte Cristo coming out in May.
Nobody cares.
Yes, we do. Because this is the edition that you like.
We'll see.
And then something that happened with AI.
AI. You know what? You saw that photo I posted?
Yes.
People went like crazy telling me happy birthday. I don't know if anybody knows, but it was not my birthday.
Nah, it wasn't.
That was, you know, my birthday was like 4 or 5 weeks ago.
And he was saying this is how he will look.
And when I hit 66 on my birthday.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be in that Panama.
And you know what I thought of Cabana. After I posted that?
What's that?
It's like, nobody said anything about the artwork. And I'm like, do they think, no. I'm like, do they think that's what I look like now?
they don't see that being a drastic change from where you will be.
Right.
It's like, hey, that looks like that could be. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah,
that's
but
him.
Some people maybe that I don't know.
Oh, may think that's
you. We're like. Right. Wow, that's what that dude looks like.
And happy birthday.
He's older and fatter. Which, you know, if I look like that, it don't matter because, you see, as long as I'm where that picture is, that's where I want to be. Mm. Sitting at a fucking bar right off the beach.
Panama Cabana.
The beach air just blowing through. You know what I mean? That's your cool breeze.
Let that breeze come through. Mm. Sitting there smoking your stick with a good underrated bourbon.
With a view.
Yeah. Oh, man. The view is the best part of it.
Oh.
Those other things are accents. The view is the best part of it. Yes, sir. We went on a cruise once and we went to Cozumel, Mexico. And this is the first time I'd seen the Gulf. I've seen the Pacific. It's the first time I've seen
now,
the
where
Gulf.
Did you get on the Gulf at the beginning?
In Galveston.
Yeah.
We started off in Galveston.
You were like, man, this looks like the Mississippi.
It was weird because it was dirty water.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it got blue. And it was blue after a while.
And it's almost like there's just a line.
Yeah, it's a line.
Of brown water and blue water. And it's weird. Blue.
And it was just like, wow. And you look back, you're like, okay, I can understand why. And you look forward like, okay, I hope it's like this all the way. But standing there on the Mexican part of it and seeing the Gulf that way and on that beach, that breeze, the air, the smell. It's just like the view is everything, man. It's everything. Anything you add to it is an accentuary, but the view is what you want.
Like, let me back up here. Like, you think about Abilene.
Oh, okay.
Where in this town would you go to get like a view like that?
The theater?
Nowhere. It doesn't exist.
The movie theater? Before you watching a movie?
Yeah, you would have to be in a movie because, like, there is nothing nowhere
here.
To go.
No. Nothing here. Nothing.
I mean, we barely got trees.
That's true. We got a lot of dirt.
You go out 2.5 hours west, and they don't have any trees.
At all. But you go 3.5 hours east, and it's all trees. It's all trees everywhere you look.
And then you go another 4 hours southeast, and it's pine forest.
Yep, the pine forest.
Correct. I do. When I moved down to Houston, I had no idea they had pine tree forest everywhere.
The first time I went to Houston, when I was here, it made me remember home, because hitting that humidity and that smell in the air and that feel, I was like, oh my God, I miss this, man. And then, like you said, you see pine trees everywhere.
And the thing about it is, like, you were used to that in the Missouri part.
Yeah, off the Mississippi.
And when I moved to St. Louis, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Dude, I moved from Lubbock, Texas.
Sandcastle.
And so when I drove up there, when you get into Missouri and you start going through the Ozarks.
You start feeling the change.
This was in the spring.
Yep.
Oh, dude, it was amazing.
It's a change in the atmosphere. You start feeling and smell. The air just gets cleaner because you start coming into those trees and that. Oh man, it's a difference. It's a total difference. But here in Abilene, yeah, there's no way we can find it.
You know what my favorite thing about St. Louis, Missouri was?
What was that?
Like, man, you know I loved it there because, you know, I was 21.
Yeah, and it never shut down.
And I mean, it was all new.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was a city.
I mean, a true city.
Lubbock's not a city.
I'm talking about,
Lubbock is a town.
And people say that Abilene is a city. I'm like, no. 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 But you go there and it's just like, it's so much. And that's what.
It's so much. And it's like you're never going to get to it all.
Oh,
and you don't. You don't even come close. Don't. Did you ever go to the zoo?
Oh, yeah.
They got a badass zoo. Yes, and it's free.
Yes.
Is it still free?
Still free.
Dude, I mean, that is just unbelievable.
Everything about that place I miss a lot of. And then I go to Chicago, which is 10 times larger than St. Louis. And it has the same thing with a beach that is real.
Right.
And you're like, oh, my God. Gosh,
but you know what? With St. Louis, though, I mean, there's lots of places you could go to take in a scene.
Oh, yeah.
That is like, that's it.
I'm saying
Abilene does not have that.
Mm-mm. They used to have a restaurant. Well, it was a hotel in St. Louis that the restaurant on the top floor, and I think it was like the 30th floor, it spent around.
Yeah, we got one in Dallas.
And you could see, the thing about it was you could see the river. And everything, then the next thing, your next view is all of St. Louis. And it's like you're looking for miles. You're like, God, man, look at all these buildings. And then you look up again, there's the river.
I've never done that.
You didn't?
I don't want to do that. Oh. They got that in Vegas. They got it in Dallas. Uh-huh. That's the only two I know. But, you know, I'm like, yeah, I don't care.
It's a different view. No matter when you look up from the table, it's a different view.
Yeah. You know what?
You're good on that.
I passed out in the backyard. Oh, I got a different view while I was laying in the grass.
Oh, my God.
Different views always aren't that valuable. You know what I mean?
I got you, bro.
Hey, let's get back on with this
show. Almost definitely.
You kind of steered us off in a rabbit hole.
Well,
we're talking about St. Louis, right? That's where you're from. So that's what we always talk about. You always drag it back to that place.
Dude, we started talking about a view.
Oh, okay. Anyway, guys, let's tell everybody what we're smoking and drinking.
I am smoking the new Leander.
Oh, dude. Did you go with the Toro or the Reboot? You got the Toro.
Toro.
So if you guys don't know, McAuliffe is coming out with the Leander in the Toro and Robusto. And I've smoked both of them. And you know what? It's bolder than I remember.
Oh, yes.
I really forgot how bold that blend is. And I was kind of like, wow, didn't see that coming.
And still that flavorful ride, man.
And the construction, you know, nothing to be said there. It is what it is.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
So, you know what? We have an interview today.
We do?
Okay. Yeah. We have an interview. You know who it's with?
Who?
Lauren
from
McAuliffe.
Yeah.
I'm bringing her on the show. And it's been a minute, and I want to check in with her, see how everything's going.
Yes, sir.
We also recorded a whole crew show with just Lauren. Me and Lauren. Crew show.
I want to hear that.
No, you're going to want to hear it.
I want to hear that.
I mean, because here's what happened. What's we that? Started talking. And then we were already recording. Uh-huh. And she's like, hey, are we recording for the show already? And I'm like, this is the crew show. Because you know how that goes.
Yes. Because we're nowhere near what we can be, do on the regular show.
Right. And so if you want to be a Patreon, look at the show notes and you can listen to the crew show. You know, sometimes you'll get like two or three uploaded at one time, bam, you have all this content to listen to. And then you might not have one for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But then you might have another one for like one and then 3 weeks. It's so random.
It's just about giving our Patreons, respect and let them know that we truly appreciate who they are for us.
I really do appreciate who they are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Each and every one of them. Yeah. They're a very unique, like, contribution to the group.
You were going to say
I was going to say, no, you know what? I almost said a word I didn't want to say.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to use that word.
Oh, man.
It was worse than twat.
All I got to say is, we're glad to be back.
Oh, yeah, we are.
We had many people sitting, man, where are you guys? I've been waiting on my episode. Guys,
and let me tell you this, too. And you know what? A lot of the crew members I've had a meeting with and told mm-hmm. them some of this stuff I've got going on. And so for you that don't know, you know, sometimes personal shit comes up. Life. And so, like, what was it? Like, I don't know, 3 months ago, I found out I had anal warts and, I'm kidding.
We're just getting back and already we just straight down that rock, man. You know, I can see people like, yes, that's them.
No, finally. And your wife is like, oh, he's tarnishing my husband's taint.
Again. It's just, man, it's just good to be back.
It is good to be back. And hey, so you guys at home that don't know, or maybe you're in your car, maybe you're at the beach, you're out in the forest digging a hole for a body, but you're listening to the show. We appreciate it, for one. And then I forgot where I was going.
We're in the new studio.
Oh, where we moved. And, well, we're not completely moved.
Yeah.
We're still like 70% in the old studio and 30% maybe in here. But I love the room.
Oh, most definitely.
Do you love the open space?
Most definitely.
Do you feel cramped?
No, not at all. I'm not sitting in that chair anymore. I'm lounging on a what?
A love seat. Yes. A leather love seat.
Just sitting back chilling.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm
drinking early times.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, this is like hanging out, bro.
Supposed to be.
This is how we do it.
For real. It's us.
Yeah.
It's us.
And if you were here right now, you'd be like, how come Rob doesn't have his pants on?
He does. That's a visual you don't have to worry about.
So anyway, I was going to tell everybody that after the interview, we're going to do the McAuliffe Minute.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to have the joke of the week.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to have the song of the week.
Song of the week.
So we got a great episode coming up. Damn, that was a long introduction. But you know what? If you don't listen to past this point, then
you're missing out.
No, I was going to say.
Nah, they're missing out.
All right. I'll let it be.
Thank you.
You know what?
Thank you.
All right. And let me just give
Let's get the first episode in the new studio.
Can I?
PG.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, the fuck
first,
no.
Just
fuck
the first
no.
episode.
Fuck no.
Just the first one, man.
Fuck no. Not happening, bro. We're not going to go down a road for like.
He didn't even give it a chance.
No.
He didn't even give it a chance.
Bro. Negative.
In his response to me, he took it away from
me. I did. What do you think we should do? Fuck off. Anyway, we're in a new studio. We're going to slowly be making the transition into here, and it takes a little bit because, you know, you want to make sure you bring it in the right way. You don't just throw it in there and then, like, you know, a week later be like, well, that's not good. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And then a week later, nope, that's not good. I want to think it through.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
And this is perfect for us. For the opportunity for the interviews and to have others here. Like when we had others in the shed.
It was real crowded.
Oh, man.
And we got a sink. A sink means I can wash my own liquor glasses.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't have to do
it. Not at all. But
and I got a coffee maker.
But Russell will do them when he gets here. Because you still going to send them in there to wash
them. He can wash them right in there.
That's what I'm saying. You still going to send them in there to wash the glasses.
And the great thing is, there's a bed in there.
Oh, God.
You know, here's what my wife said.
So now he won't be sleeping out in the grass anymore.
Who?
You.
No. Like when Russell comes to visit.
He has a place.
Right. Or Tim.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In fact, I invited Tim down next weekend to help move in here because that's a handy dude.
That dude, he pays attention to everything. Shit, tell Rob. He won't say nothing to you. He'll tell me, tell Rob to take that. Tell Rob to do. I'm like, all those years, he said, I'm not going to say nothing. I said, I'm learning. I'm learning. How long have y'all been friends, man?
39 years, dude.
Man, 39.
And you know what? So
39. He's been dealing with you for 39 years?
It's amazing.
Wow. Wow. And it's still your best friend. He at a call, he coming up the highway. He coming down the highway.
Boom.
At a call.
Because you know what? I've tested that theory on more than one occasion.
I can believe it.
And the dude always comes through. Now, on the flip side, if he calls me right now,
It'll be a couple of weeks before.
No. If he says, I need you right now.
Oh, if he says it that way, yeah.
No. Well, I mean, that's how I say it. When I need something.
No, you use the F word in there.
No. Well, not always. I mean, sometimes. Because let me tell you something, folks. I'm going to tell you this. Earlier today, Bryant calls, and I think I was on the other line, so I didn't answer. Uh-huh. And then I called him back, and I was like, hey, what's up, bro? And he was like, hey, man, can we record tomorrow? And what was my response?
Oh,
are you fucking with me? No, I said, are you fucking for real?
Yep.
And then, you know what? I felt bad for about a half a second after I hung up. And then I started keeping on moving shit in here.
And then I called him back. And I told him exactly what was going on. He said, yeah, get your ass over here. And I came and we talked. And then he was like, you ready to tape? I was like, yeah. Because I had to vent. I had to get something off of me. And it's not anything bad as in.
But that's, dude, that's life.
That's the relationship that we have. I can come talk to you. You can talk to me. And this is the thing I want people to understand. When me and Rob have those conversations, there ain't no joking. There's no ignorance in it. It's real. And then when we get done, he goes back to who he is. He will listen and he says shit that is wise. But then immediately after
I seen you have digested the wisdom,
the rabbit hole
I'm
opens.
Gonna shove this up your ass
quickly. And you just sit there like, well, I be damned. But then that's you. And I appreciate that because you gave me an opportunity to come and just verbally vomit and get that stuff up off of me. And you're like, let's tape. And then you started going down that road. And I was like, yeah, I'm good.
So about me.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some big exploding life challenges over the last few weeks.
That's correct.
And you know what? I'm going to tell everybody right now. After like boom, 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 and shit's going down. That is like not the norm.
Yes.
And I might talk about it later this year. Who knows? We'll see. But your first thing is like, I don't want to deal with that shit.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't have a choice.
Because it's there, baby.
It's there. You got to deal with it. Yeah. And so, you know, it just takes you to a place you've never been before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at our age, dude, you think you've already done it all. But no.
Here it comes. You're like, damn, really?
I'm like,
really?
The customer said spit, sir. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. 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 Truly. Truly, I understand what you're saying.
Boom.
Truly.
So, all right. Well, hey, let's jump into one of your stories.
Okay.
You want to do the bullshit news? Is it time for the bullshit news?
Oh, well.
Here we go.
Evidently so.
Bryant's bullshit news.
You got a damn sound bite for it.
I did.
That is so messed up. So the first one we're going to talk about is the most underrated bourbons, according to beverage professionals. These are people that deal with beverages. So you're talking about bartenders, you know,
I could be in that category. I'm a professional.
Yeah. You know what you truly are, because you don't, there is no alcohol abuse with you.
No.
None. None whatsoever. No. So they gave a list of some underrated bourbons, and some of these we have actually drank, and we understand the reason for them being on it. And number one, guess what number one was?
Evanwe's Ball and Bond.
Negative.
Okay.
Wild Turkey 101.
Oh, that's a fucking classic.
Yes.
Dude, I'm going to tell you right now, like, I'm not a fan of Wild Turkey.
But
the Wild Turkey 101, all day, every day.
Every day.
And I mean, dude, I mean, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 22 to 28 bucks. Mm-hmm. And so, like, to me, it's a little hotter, but it's still flavorful. So, like, that Heaven and Hill that's 45 to 60, I'm like, I have a hard time justifying just because it has Heaven and Hill written on the side.
I got you totally. The next we've drank before also, Four Roses Single Barrel Bourbon.
Yeah, I'm, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And what is it, does it say? Well, I wouldn't really consider that undervalued, though.
Underrated, not undervalued, underrated.
Okay, well, even underrated, it's such a standard.
But that's what makes it underrated, because people just look at it, well, like you used to do with certain cigars. Oh, man, that's what, I'll give you a hint. Can you say it? Monte Cristo. It's a standard. And you weren't into that until one.
Well,
one
cigar. I don't like that Monte Cristo is considered a standard.
Okay, I got you.
But here's the thing. It is, though, mm-hmm. because of the reputation they built somehow.
Yes.
I don't even know how. You know what? We're going to have to get a historian on here to tell us about how Monte Cristo became a standard.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Just like Cohiba.
Oh, yeah.
That's another standard.
Yeah.
I don't smoke them. I don't care for them, but they are a standard in the industry's reputation,
gotcha.
Not to the actual cigar smoker.
Gotcha. Next on the list is Michter's US 1 Small Batch Bourbon. I've never had it.
I've had it.
You have it?
Yeah.
How was it?
It's good.
Okay.
I don't think it's underrated, but okay.
Next on the list, Jefferson's Reserve.
I think that is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, if I call bullshit.
Yeah.
That's not underrated. That's fucking fantastic.
To you. But there may be people out there that overlook it.
Okay, well, if I know about it.
See, everybody should
Everybody
know.
Should know.
Okay, next, Barrel Bourbon.
I'm not a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a bottle. It was $92.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was good. But was it $92 good? I don't think so. I think it was like between 45 and 50 good.
Okay. Next on the list, Eagle Rare 10-Year.
Yeah, that's undervalued? Yeah.
Underrated.
Bullshit. Call bullshit. I don't know where you're getting your research from, Brian, but this sounds like a bullshit news.
Next on the list is something I never heard of, which is New Southern Revival Jimmy Red Bourbon Whiskey.
Is that anywhere?
Here we go.
All right. Forget it. I was going to go really far off the rails, but you know what? You reeled it in. Go ahead. Move on.
Next, I hadn't heard of either. It's called Tattersall's Distillers Weeded Bottle and Bond.
Never had it. Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
What's the name?
Tattersall Distillings.
Nope. Don't know it.
Weeded Bottle and Bond Bourbon.
So if they say that's underrated, I would definitely try it. Because okay. All the other lists that they're giving me, I'm a big fan of.
Big fan of. Okay, next is Old 55 Sweet Corn Bourbon.
Old 55?
Yeah. I've never heard of it.
Never heard of that. So we need to make a list of the ones mm-hmm. we've never had.
And then next is Bardstown Fusion Series number 8 bourbon.
I've had Bardstown. I don't know which one.
Okay.
And you know what? I wouldn't have considered those underrated. I would have considered them right where they were supposed to be.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Good, not excellent, and overpriced.
Okay. Next would be David Nicholson's Bourbon Reserve.
Never heard of it. Say, what's this guy's name again?
David Nicholson.
Hmm.
Then we have Old Carter Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
Never heard of it.
Me neither. Woodinville Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
Hmm. Never heard of it.
Next we've heard of Old Granddad.
Now, which one? Just the regular?
Just the regular.
See,
you're not a fan.
I'm not a fan of the old Granddad regular, but the old Granddad 114.
Oh, God. That's the one that had you out there.
I will have some of that, either like a double, or if you can, like, you know, figure out.
You'll figure out how to keep you.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
All right, sorry. And the last one on this list is Driftless Glen Single Barrel Bourbon.
Never heard of it.
Neither. So there's a few on here that we have tried and enjoyed.
I mean, what I like about the list is all the choices that we've never had.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely. They compare them in the same article with bourbons we've had and we know are good.
They don't know are good.
You know what I mean? They weren't throwing out any bourbons
so that makes you want to try it.
Sure.
At least once.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, they were like, well, how many bourbons do you like? And I said, let me tell you something. I've drank a lot of bourbons I don't like.
Yeah.
But I did that because I want to try all of them. Because then, you know what? You create a much larger selection for yourself of what you do like.
Mm.
I never want to be one of those people who's like, yeah, I just like that one.
Because then you're selling yourself short.
Yeah. I mean, it's like being married.
I'm not going
there. I'm not
going
to marry a bourbon.
I'm not going there.
You know what I'm saying?
The next news is about Monte Cristo, the 1935 anniversary.
Oh, that's a good cigar.
See, I told you.
That's a good cigar.
The Edition Diamante is slated for to come out in May of 2023. And this has a Nicaraguan wrapper, binder, and filler. It comes in your size that you like, a 4 3/4 by 48, a 5 by 54, a 6 by 55, a 6.5 by 56.
All right, I get it. I don't need to hear all the ring gauges.
And the starting price is $16.42, manufacturers suggested.
All right.
So we're looking at that stick. And how much do we pay for it now? Do you remember?
I don't know.
It's like around about 13.
I thought it was around 16.
I thought it was like 13 to 14, anywhere between 13 to 15. Oh,
I think it was 13 to 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's stepping up with this special edition, Diamante, which will be out in May of this year. Now, this is the thing I know you will get into. Someone asked an autonomous AI to destroy humanity, and this is what happened.
Okay.
This AI called Chaos GPT. Compiled and did research on all the nuclear weapons that have ever been produced. It then started to recruit other AI agents to try to find a way to destroy humanity in one swoop. And what it came down to was detonating the most dangerous, the most destructive bomb ever. That was detonated in 1961. And do you know what bomb that was?
In 1961?
Uh-huh.
I don't, but I want to say that I do remember it was like 40 times more powerful than what we dropped on Hiroshima.
Tell the truth. And it's called the Tsar bomb that Russia dropped.
Yes.
And they dropped it in the atmosphere. They detonated in the atmosphere because they didn't think that they should have dropped it on Earth because they didn't know what it would have done.
Hey. So here's something just, you know, thinking about. So you didn't have it detonate on Earth because you didn't know what would happen.
Uh-huh.
Well, did you know what the fuck was going to happen up there, bro?
Space, bro. Space.
I mean, what if you would have blown a hole in the atmosphere and it sucked in all the space with no oxygen and we all died? And you'd be like, well, fuck, I didn't think that was going to happen.
That was 61. They didn't know. They didn't understand that.
Right. And then, well, dude, what I just said would never happen, but you didn't know that.
You didn't know that then.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Here's the thing about the AI situation with it. That one AI agent that was actually recruiting others, the others was like, their programming didn't allow them to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't come up with anything.
Mm-hmm.
It kept going.
Mm-hmm.
And it kept researching to the point where the person that did it had to actually stop it.
No shit.
Because it was going to try to figure a way of getting rid of humanity in one swoop. Not like you said earlier, where maybe certain.
That might be something that the people who build that AI shit might want to make that restrictive.
Yeah, very restrictive. Not just for anybody.
Right.
To go and try to find that shit out.
Because you know I use AI.
Oh, I know. I know. And I know with you, with your mind.
Yeah, I'm like, hey.
How can we end all of this?
I can win.
Right now.
Did you say win?
End.
Oh, end. I thought you said win. I destroy humanity. I win.
And I'm the only one still here.
No, I'm good. Anyway, that is very loud. You firing up that cigar right there with that big ass torch.
And four torches going off at once.
Anyway, is that all your news?
Yeah, that was
okay,
it.
Okay, well, hold on. We got to.
Oh, Brian's my bullshit God. News.
All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll have Lauren from McAuliffe. And you're not going to miss her interview. It's a great interview. And then we'll come back and do the McAuliffe Minute. And the joke of the week and the song of the week.
Pick six.
And the pick six.
Yes, sir.
So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hey, guys. Welcome back to Cigar Talk. And we have a special guest. This is a special episode. This is the McAuliffe episode. I have Lauren, which is their national sales director extraordinaire.
Executive, president. Not director.
I was going to say president, but okay. Yeah, she is the advertising marketing director. And Lauren, how long have you been with the company now, Lauren?
Almost 2 years. Actually, okay. No, 2 years. 2 years. I think I just hit my work anniversary. So happy anniversary to me.
Congratulations. So tell me a little bit about like your experience. Like you came on to McAuliffe and like changed roles. Well, I wouldn't say even change is more like you gained responsibilities.
Yeah, lots of responsibilities. Throughout the
2 years. And so how's your experience?
It was kind of like not a rough start, but I think, Al really wanted to hire me initially. He picked me up from Humidor and Cigars International. So there was like a kind of, they had to make room for me. So a lot of people didn't really know what to do with me at first, but I just kept grinding away, making phone calls, just doing inside sales, that kind of thing. You're not really knowing exactly what my professional brand I was contributing to McAuliffe at the time. You know, you just you're trying to find your spot. And that can be difficult, especially when you have like a gray area position. And then when Sam, the marketing manager that we had, he left, I basically assumed a lot of his responsibilities, you know, doing stuff at the McAuliffe Ambassador.
I thought you basically assumed all of his responsibilities.
Pretty much. And then mine on top of it.
Right.
So that was kind of a daunting thing because I would have to be like on camera more and front facing and, you know, special, you know, kind of representing like the McAuliffe brand overall. So that was an interesting, and I think I kind of hit my sprint when Amanda was like, hey, can you make these reels on Instagram? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I could do this. But I started experimenting with it. And then I kind of hit the ground running with that, you know, doing collabs with people and indulging into like the online content creation. So I've kind of, you know, created like my own little niche here in the company. And then also now, I was telling you I was going through another phase. I'm going to be doing more outside sales now come August. So I'll be doing everything.
You've actually had a lot of growth in the last 2 years.
Yeah, a lot of growth. And it's crazy because like I think kind of like the hardest thing and the best thing about working at McAuliffe is that it really has made me kind of approach my comfort zone and really challenged it. There's been times where Amanda has told me to do something and I'll be like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know if I want to do that. I'll figure it out though. I'm cussing my head off the entire time I'm doing it. But, you know, it's really a challenge like every day learning new things, trying to be good at everything or just multiply, you know, adequate at everything at the same time. So I've actually had a lot of professional growth that I probably ever had in my whole 34 years here working at McAuliffe.
Yeah, because let's look at your previous experience. Mm-hmm. You were selling cigars or a tobacconist at CI.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did you do before that?
I did industrial sales. So I sold garage door operators and gate operators to businesses that installed the product. I worked for a manufacturer. So I worked for another manufacturer.
That was way more boring, though.
It's not as sexy. I'll let you know.
It's not. It's not. Garage door openers, gate openers. That's.
Oh, man. But can I tell you the difference between AC and DC and trolley operators and jack shaft operators? Yeah. Hot stuff right there.
One day when you have a house that has a private entry gate, you're going to be like, no. That's not what I asked for.
Oh, God. No, I hate gates, though, man. Those things are the worst. At least with garage door operators, when those ship shit out, like, you can at least know what's wrong with them because there's only so many components that go in a garage operator. Once you get to high voltage, it is a whole different ballgame. And
so you were telling the big shit.
Yeah, the moon could be on the other side of the hemisphere, and that's why the gate operator is not working. Or you didn't ground it right or anything. Anytime a customer called me, they're like, my gate operator doesn't work. I'd be like,
oh, you're no. Like, I sold it to you. Bob, can you get down there and fix your shit?
Tech support, calling tech support.
So how is that different from being where you are now in the cigar industry? I mean, do you love what you do now compared to that? And did you love it then or was it just a job?
So when I worked industrial sales, I did not like my job. Okay. Not like my job. It's really hard to be an expert in your product. So you always felt like you were approaching each meeting with a sense of deficiency as opposed to cigars. You know, there's not a lot to know about cigars, but, you know, I've learned all I, you know, and still learning, a humble student, as I like to say, and I've been smoking cigars for a very long time. I do like my job better in that sense. And as well as I get to be more creative. And I get to have my hands in many things as opposed to one thing and one thing only. So I get to do sales. I get to do marketing. I get to do social media, you know, and I'm always.
Which is a lot. That is a very big pie.
Yeah, it is a very big pie. And I think it helps me work on skills and concentrate on things that I normally like. I'm still wanting to be better and better at, you know, when you don't like a job. It might challenge you, but you don't want, if you don't want to match up your skills or develop your skills to meet that expectation, that means you don't really like the job. Like with McAuliffe, even though I'm like, oh God, I suck at this, I still want to keep plugging away at it until I become good at it.
Well, I mean, also that is a trait that really means that you're never satisfied with how good you are, which is a great trait to have.
But it can suck sometimes because I'm very hard on myself.
Well, that's okay. That's good to a point. You also have to, you know, kick your feet up sometime and be like, yeah, I'm pretty fucking badass.
On my good days. I think you caught me on a good day.
I do that more often than the other. I'm like, yeah, I'm badass. Cigar
talk. You do the posturing in front of the mirror.
I'm like, fuck all those other cigar shows.
I haven't been going to the gym, so please let me know.
I have not. Look at her. You guys can't see her. You know what? We're going to post this on YouTube too. So y'all want to see the gun show. She's got the gun show.
It's Hot Girl Summer. I told you, Hot Girl Summer. We're working on
Hot Girl Summer. So whenever I do the gun show, that's the gun show.
Oh, okay. You're legit guns.
Yeah. It's like right here next to me. So if you come bebopping in here.
I'm just looking for my beach ball. Which is this big, went that way.
And you lived in California. Were you close to the beach at one time?
Yeah, I lived in Long Beach
for a
couple years. It was great. I didn't go to the beach that much, ironically. But it was nice, like, driving down the street.
It was nice seeing the beach as you're going somewhere. Yeah.
Or, like, you'd see people doing yoga by the beach, and it's, like, in the middle of January. And I'm a Midwest baby at heart and born and bred. So, like, you know they're having a miserable time. And you're like, I'm watching people do yoga, and it's sunny, and it's nice.
Yeah, there's some different people out there because that's not how we are in Texas. You know that by now. So let's go ahead and cover, what are you smoking today?
Well, I am smoking. We haven't released this yet. We're doing pre-releases for some of our customers. The Leyenda Toro.
The Leyenda Toro. I can't wait to smoke it. Now, I don't know anything about it. So is it like the same blend as the Leyenda 1 and 2?
Yeah, Ecuadorian Habano wrapper on it. Really good. Medium
peppery,
body.
Little mild peppery sensation going on with that Ecuadorian.
Yeah, not too much pepper, though, which is I don't mind the pepper. I actually like pepper, but not a lot of pepper to it. So I feel like if you're like a medium body smoker, especially with whiskey or bourbon, you like to pair with your cigars, You'll love this one.
May become my new favorite McAuliffe cigar because I love to a little bit of maybe a medium plus with a little bit of pepper, a little bit of earth, a little bit of
leather. That's how you like the Medallia a lot.
Boom. That San Andreas on the Medallia is what just keeps reeling me in. You know what I mean? I can't get enough of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's not going to have as much pepper as the Medallia, but it's a really good smoke. Well, actually, we have it in the Leon number one, number two with the coffins and like a very unique torpedo size.
I actually like the number two is my favorite. So
yeah, it's smaller. Like the Leon number one's pretty sizable. It's like 7.5 by 52.
Right. And that's a big cigar for me.
Yeah, you know, especially with seasoned cigar smokers, you know, you find the sizes you like, and they usually are going to get smaller and smaller as time goes on. Like,
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, I know. I love a 5x40.
I was a 6x60 guy because I thought, that's what.
It's like, man, real cigar were you a size smoker. Queen?
Yeah, so I was like, I'm only smoking the darkest, blackest cigars in the 6x60. And now I never smoke that.
No, it's funny. When I first started smoking, I really liked Maduros and I still like Maduros, but
I do
nowadays,
on occasion, but I hardly ever smoke them.
Yeah. I don't smoke Maduros that much anymore. I'll smoke I mostly smoke in the morning now. So it's going to be a lighter cigar. I have indulged since getting into the cigar industry more into lighter blends and medium body, I think is like really my sweet spot for sure. But yeah, I don't smoke as much Maduros as I used to. Still love them.
For the right occasion and the right mood, it's a great cigar. But for me, everybody's palate is different. For me, the Habano wrapper on a medium cigar is lights out for me. I can smoke that all day.
Yeah, I do like a good Ecuadorian Habanos are usually my favorite too. So I'm not surprised. I really like the Leyenda.
With the Ecuadorian, you get a little bit more of the peppery.
Mm-hmm. Just like really a little bit.
Yeah, not overpowering. It's not like the San Andreas, but you get a little bit. I love them. I love them.
Have you smoked the Anastasia by Caldwell?
No.
They used to. Oh, you love that one. If you like Ecuadorian Habano wrappers, you love that one too.
Anastasia?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't even know what the band looks like on that. And I smoke a lot. I smoke a lot of Caldwell.
Yeah, I really love that cigar. And then, like, I know Foundation Charter Oak, like, they have a Connecticut Ecuadorian Habano. That one's really good, too.
It is. And I am blown away. And we talked earlier that at my core, I'm a budget cigar smoker.
Oh, you're a what?
I'm a budget cigar smoker.
Yes.
When you smoke 8 cigars a day, you're not spending $30 a cigar. You know what I mean? So... Oh, look who just came in. Come on over here. We got Luke Jones. This is my son.
Hey.
He used to be our producer for Cigar Talk, and then he outgrew us.
Oh, that's okay. Evolving.
Yeah, he's 23. So.
Oh, so young.
Young and dumb.
Babies. I miss being that age. Not really, but I do.
I miss being that age, but I would love to be that age again and have the wisdom that I have now.
Yes.
I don't even know if it would be as much fun because one of the things about being young is being dumb.
I was kind of a mess during that time.
Well, who wasn't?
Such a mess. Just figuring shit out. Terrified of everything, but like just throwing myself back into everything.
I never sent you that to me, but I'll send it to you. And just give me my regular. Just get what you know I like. Come on. My son's like, hey, you want to get lunch? I'm like, sure. He's like, what do you want? I'm like, what I like. Anyway, I feel like my early 20s were just amazingly fun. Some of the best stories I've ever told came from that time, but it was fun because I was dumb and I did shit that I would never do now.
Oh, absolutely not. And then you know who you are when you get older. Like, I wish you had, I think being that age would be great, but having just that strong sense of self you do now and reverting back would be ideal.
True, except if you went back to being, say, 21, with the wisdom that you have now, nobody else at that age would like you.
He's such a drip.
You'd be like, well, you're no fun.
Going home. I'm going home and I'm listening to my podcast and I'm going to bed.
Yeah. See, you wouldn't be fun. So I think part of the fun of being young was being so dumb.
Yeah. You're so optimistic about things, though. Like,
I am very optimistic.
I don't know. I'm a bitter bitch now.
I'm optimistic for me. I'm a very negative person for a lot of people I know. Because I'm like, yeah, they're dumb. So, tell us about the Leanda. What is this a special edition or is this going to be a normal, regular cigar?
It's going to be normal. It's going to be in our rotation. So we have, we are, as a company, extending our legacy line, adding more sizes, adding another blend later this year. So our main focus is to really indulge in deep to our legacy and really start branching it out. So we are kind of hitting all like the smoker demographics. And so the Leanda were great. Like that was a blend that was specifically made by the Gomez Sanchez family that honored their legacy, especially in the cigar industry. And so we're keeping like the legacy Leanda number one, number two in the coffins and the Gomez Sanchez band and everything. But this is going to be the Toro and the Robusto size that we're coming out with. And then it has like the McAuliffe and then the secondary band on it.
And so will the Leanda Robusto come in a box of 10 or 20 or whatever?
20. I think 25.
25, even better.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait until we have them at the Leaf because like,
no, and they're smoking beautifully in these sizes, and they'll be more accessible too because, you know, Toros are the most popular. I love Robustos. Like, I love the Robusto size a lot too, so that will definitely hit that market and that demographic of smoker. So it's really, like, we're all about, like, making sure that our brand is, you know, expanded and accessible.
And what I like about it, for me, I think the McAuliffe brand is very traditional cigars. No crazy bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, you're not trying to be the Matt Booth and come out with bullshit marketing techniques.
No, because like when you look at like our history in general, the Gomez Sanchez family, like three generations of rollers, came from Cuba, so like they're very much traditional in the sense of the craftsmanship of cigars. And I think as a brand too, like, we're more about community. I mean, we have our ambassador group. We're more about building the community, building up brick and mortars, reinvesting into brick and mortars. So it's not like the flashy band. It's not, you know,
you're not Drew Estate.
No, and we're not faux fancy either. You know, like some cigar brands that come out there and they want to be, oh, well, we're high class and, you know.
Yeah, you're not Drew Estate and you're also not Gurkha.
No, well, no, we're not Gurkha.
So, you know, I got called out by the president of Gurkha.
Oh, no, you did not. Which you do.
We sell Cigar Talk t-shirts and shit. And one of the Cigar Talk t-shirts was a black shirt only, and in white letters it says, "Friends don't let friends smoke Gurkha." So Juan Lopez messaged me on Facebook and was like, "Hey man, I heard you're selling a shirt with this." And but to be fair, we spelt Gurkha one letter off.
Oh, so no cease and desist
shit, right? But anyway,
I almost made fun of them in a reel, but then I just tracked it.
Well.
So you know close.
What? He did send us a box of cigars, and it was called the Revenant, and they were actually very good. I was impressed.
Yeah, I mean,
I
they,
shocked.
You know.
And so in my mind, so I was like, oh, well, this is probably like $20 cigar. You know what I mean? They went all out to make us think they're good, and they were really like $7 cigars. So I was actually impressed, but I still don't smoke Gurkha. I mean,
well, I don't want to be mean, so I'm going to keep my opinions.
You're
going to
keep your mouth shut. You're trying to be politically correct, which is not what we do on this show. Tell us how
you play nice, of course.
So, the Leanda, when will it be available to retailers?
So retail May, maybe middle of May. Can't really. We haven't really hard set a date, but definitely in May.
Okay, and so are you guys going to PCA this year?
Yes, we are.
Are you going?
Oh, yeah, of course I'm going.
So if you happen to be at the PCA, make sure you swing by the McAuliffe booth and see the hot blonde for the summer.
Thank you.
Is that, I fucked that up. The hot summer blonde. Is that
hot girl summer?
Hot girl summer. There you go. I'm a little beyond that language. So hot girl summer.
I'm branding it. It's my brand.
Hot girl summer.
Yeah. Hot girl summer. And then when winter, then we can just retire it.
We're going to make a t-shirt. Hot girl summer. Mm-hmm. There you go. So like what else is going on in McAuliffe that is coming up in the near future that we don't know?
So we are going to be releasing a new cigar during PCA. And a little bit of a COVID secret. Do you know anything
about it?
It's going to be a strong cigar.
All right.
It's really good too. Really good flavor on it. It's going to be definitely hitting that full range. So, because when we retired the Bold in December, we had a lot of fan base around the Bold that were very disappointed when we announced that.
My co-host was very disappointed. He bought 3 boxes of Sumatra from the Leaf because it was the last 3 boxes of Sumatras.
Yeah, and we know we broke some hearts when we announced it, but as a brand, like we're like really moving forward to create.
I was excited. I was like, because I was never a Bold. Whatever you call it, Grande Bold fan.
Yeah.
I've always been the core line fan. So I was like, you know what? Get rid of that and let's focus on what y'all can do with the core line because that's where the good stuff is.
And that's where the story is behind our brand. So we really want to concentrate on that and start filling, I guess, like the gaps that the Bold left behind. So this new cigar that we're coming out with PCA is definitely going to hit that strike zone. So we're hoping to develop more cigars that kind of fill out that portfolio and, you know, really showcase what the Gomez Sanchez family can do.
And so let me ask you this. Before you worked for McAuliffe, you were already a seasoned cigar smoker.
Mm-hmm.
You came on board with McAuliffe. How much experience did you have with the actual McAuliffe brand before you came on board?
Not much, honestly, not much. Al would come in to the shop. Like, you should work for me. I'm like, yeah, whatever, Al. And then he gave me the La Crema, the Experiencia La Crema. Absolutely love that cigar. It's like still one of my favorites. It's a very understated good smoke. Like I don't think it gets a lot of screen time as much as some of our other blends, but I really love it. It's like super creamy, just a really good medium body smoke, tastes great with coffee. And so when I tried that cigar, I was like, okay, like all right, I can get on board. And so when he did offer me a job at McAuliffe, I was pretty much, okay, I'm going to jump in. We're going to do this. And, you know, just 2 years of smoking the portfolio, you find new favorites and really start, you know, it's not even just about the cigars too. It's like the brand that we built, the community. Yeah. And so it's really much of a family and just, you know, definitely bleeding, sweating and shitting McAuliffe all the time, essentially.
Eat, sleep, shit. You got it. So
McAuliffe's my life now.
Well, let me ask you this then. As a seasoned cigar smoker for the McAuliffe line of cigars, give me your top 3 McAuliffe that you enjoy.
Okay. So I love the Riata 6x46. I know you like that one too. I love that in the morning. It's one of my favorites. I do like that collector's box that we just unleashed. Like that creates
all of those are amazing. Yeah, that's a whole different experience, really. Mm-hmm. If you haven't tried that cigar profile with the 5x40s, you owe it to yourself. And it's actually priced very well. I think it's like $140 for 16 cigars.
Yeah, and you get to try all the blends except the Torcedores and the McAuliffe. Those are the only 2 that aren't in there. McAuliffe actually really got me into the petites, like the 4x46. So we have a lowercase A and then we have a petite medallia. I do like smoking those a lot. And actually, we just created the McAuliffe A Robusto. I wish I had one on me. I love the McAuliffe A and the Robusto size a lot. Like it's already good in the Churchill, but I love the Robusto. Totally been smoking a lot of that lately. And I'm sure like the Leyenda Toros and Robustos are also going to be my next favorite.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, you mentioned the Churchill. Are you a traditionally
fan of the Churchill Vitola?
Not really. Like, I just don't gravitate. Even when I'm smoking for longer periods of time, I really prefer a Toro. So Churchills are like once in a while. Sometimes I feel like it's just too much cigar to enjoy at the same time. But, you know, it's, you know, it has to be for a specific event. If I'm like,
there's only certain cigars that I will smoke in a Churchill, because I'm the same way. It's like, don't say that I'm afraid of commitment because I've been married for 27 years, but a, you know, when you get a 7-inch cigar.
Yeah. It's a lot. Like,
that's a lot. I would rather smoke 2 Robustos.
Yeah, and I don't even go towards Gordos. Like, I'm not a Gordo fan.
Oh, no.
Like, a 56 ring gauge is still too much.
54 for me is no-go. No, like, 52 is the biggest I'll go.
I do like 52. If it's a 52 or lower, totally fine.
If I smoke a 52, the whole time I'm smoking it, I'm like, man, that's big.
Yeah, no, I remember one time I was smoking a 56, and I'm like, I just feel like this is just not my jam. And I'm like, oh, it's a 56. It's too close to a 60.
That's a 50. And that is really the biggest I want, a 50.
Well, even like the 5x40s, like this is our Regalia Special Edition.
Oh.
Love that size.
Throw that in my box. So, I mean, a 50 is as big as I really want to go. And, you know, I used to love Perdomos. I think Perdomo makes a great cigar, and they have really good blends, but all their cigars come in like 54s, 56s, 58s.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not smoking those.
Yeah. I mean, for me, Perdomo's too light for my palate. I feel like they're like a little too mild for me, but they come out with pretty good blends here and there.
I used to smoke the 20th anniversary Maduro a lot.
Oh.
And I just don't, because it's too big of a ring gauge now. But I'll tell you what I do like for a powerhouse cigar. This is my number one powerhouse cigar, because I don't smoke a lot of powerhouses. My father's Le Bijou 1922 in the petite Corona.
I think I've had it. Was it at powerhouse?
Well, if you smoke Torpedo? Mm-hmm. It's a powerhouse, but if you shorten it and make it a smaller ring gauge, it gives you that robust flavor that you're looking for, but it's not so much a powerhouse because you're only smoking 4.5 inches of it.
Interesting.
So when I want to smoke something strong, I usually go with that one because I'm like 4.5, it's not going to take me over the edge.
Yeah. I did have LFD's nasty ass shit before.
I have had, like, I think I've smoked 3 of those.
Oh, wow.
And so the first one I smoked, they were like, it's going to make you sick.
Yeah, I was a little afraid when I was smoking it. I'm like, am I in danger? Like,
yeah. And I smoked it on an empty stomach. I hadn't eaten.
You were
had 4 cups of coffee already. And I smoked it and it didn't make me sick. But, you know, I smoke on average 8 cigars a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I smoked that, and I didn't smoke another cigar for like 4 hours, which is like crazy.
That'll give you a little bit of buzz.
Yeah. And I mean, if you haven't seen the NAS from LFD, it's literally like, you look at it, and you're like, that's nothing. It almost looks like
light colored wrapper, and very unassuming.
It's almost like an Italian cigar, the Toscanos.
Hmm.
You know, it's very, the ring gauge on it's probably like a 32.
Yeah, it's a very small ring gauge.
But it packs a hell of a punch.
Yeah.
I've seen people get sick.
Good times.
So, your new role, or I say your new conditions or whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to be working a little bit more from home.
Yes.
But you're going to be going to events.
Yeah. And shops, and really kind of concentrating on my sales side of things. So I'll be seeing more customers, really like implementing sales and doing more like store events, that kind of thing that will be on the market. I've already done a couple events like this year. And just like kind of like getting, like, they trust me now. So they're letting me expand my wings.
She's not blowing shit up. Let's let her do this.
Not destroying things. I mean, sometimes I'll post a reel. I'll be like, might get in trouble for this one.
Right.
Luckily, I haven't yet. Not yet.
Hey, guys, we're going to take a real short break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to do the McAuliffe Minute. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hey, guys, thanks for hanging through the break. We are back, and we are going to do the McAuliffe Minute. And so here's the way it works. I'm going to play a movie quote, and you have to tell me the actor's name in the movie and the name of the movie. And if you include how many times the lead actor has been married, it's a bonus. Your score goes to the top for the selection. And so here is the movie. Listen close.
Hear that? It's like Lennon said, you look for the person who will benefit and,
I am the walrus.
You know, you know what I'm trying to say?
I am the walrus.
That's fucking bitch.
Oh, yeah.
I am the walrus.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie. V.I. Lennon. Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov.
What the fuck is he talking about?
Fucking exactly what happened. Makes me fucking sick.
Well, what do you care, Walter?
Those rich fucks. My point is...
Are you ready to be fucked, man? I see you roll your way into the semis. Dios mio, man. Liam and me, we're gonna fuck you up.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
There you go. That's the quote of the week from the movie. And so the McAuliffe Minute, if you could tell me the name of the lead actor of the movie and the name of the movie, you go into the drawing for the winner. But if you tell me how many times he's been married, your answer goes to the top of the list. Anyway, that was the McAuliffe Minute. Lauren, how are you?
Oh, excellent. And whoever wins, I'll make sure to send you stuff so you don't hate our brand. I don't want any more haters. Right.
That was something from a different show. But anyway, so you're ready to go to the PCA?
Yes.
PCA. Did you go last year?
Yes, I did.
And how was it?
It was good. I didn't really know a lot of people, so it was like a very new experience. But it's kind of cool because you get to see all these cigar brands and manufacturers all in one spot. So it's definitely, you know, a lot of community camaraderie. So I'm really excited because I feel like I'm more part of the industry than I was last year. So it'll be very interesting to participate on this round.
And also, I think that you'll enjoy it a lot because you have basically taken over all the social media of McAuliffe. So you actually have been exposed to a lot of different people in the business. That's not just the manufacturers, but also like the influencers and hardcore cigar smokers. So you'll be like, you're going to have people coming up to be like, oh, you're Lauren.
Me and Ashley do plan on doing some collabs while I'm out there. So
awesome. Awesome.
Continue our partnership.
Yeah. When I went to TPE, nobody came up to me.
Oh no.
Well, I make that in jest because I wasn't out on the floor. I was in a room doing interviews all day. So I didn't actually see.
Oh my god, it sounds exhausting.
You would not believe how exhausting it was.
Oh my gosh. I do like a baby fraction of what you do, and it's tiring doing interviews.
So we were in the media room and I had this big plan of like I didn't know how it was because I'd never been. And I thought that there would be tables set up like in the walkways. And so I was going to set up my equipment on the table and have people come over for a video and audio interview. And when I got there, there were no tables. And I was like, well, what the hell am I going to do? And so I found out where the media room was. And basically, we set up the entire studio in the media room.
Oh, wow.
We were the only media that did that. Everybody else was walking around like with their iPhones taking pictures. And we were set up with like six tripods with lights and cameras and computers. But it was a lot of
fun.
Buffet. Oh, we did. And
the buffet, media buffet.
We did so many interviews that I still have interviews that have not been released.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's hard to like crank all that stuff out. So it's not like it's not unheard of to like have content stretching on for 2 or 3 months after that.
Well, for me, it's been a year and 3 months. So,
oh my God. So this was last year.
I thought Yeah. Last year. We didn't go this year because you know what? When it comes to looking at budgets and your return on investment, I just didn't think it was worth going to Vegas again. It was great getting interviews from some people that otherwise I probably wouldn't be able to. But Cigar Talk is about cigar smokers more than it is about hanging out with people of the cigar industry.
Yeah. And that's like, I feel like, I mean, as much as it's great, like to interview people who are in the cigar industry, I do feel like content creators do make a mistake where they're just making content that people in the cigar industry would only find interesting.
Right. And that's not really our main thing. We like to make content that covers many spectrums.
Yeah. And then like everyone, you know, forgets, like we get into the cigars because it's the community, it's the conversations that surround cigars. And it's really like, it's the consumer. I feel like the consumer base is the most important out of all.
For me, that's all that it is about. Like after 225 episodes, interviewing a lot of people in the business, for me, it's like, I enjoy the consumers way more than I enjoy the creators.
Because there's more variations, you know.
And there's more stories you haven't heard, you know. You get a lot of like, wow, that's awesome. Or, you know, you hear some really legitimate, like, amazing stories from people from the community.
Yes. And it's not all one note, but it is interesting, like in the cigar industry, like there's always like that cigar personality and like people build a brand around it. Like it's like the people who create, which is like very unique as opposed to other industries that you do partake in.
Yeah, it's a very unique industry for sure. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time that don't smoke cigars. I'm like, you don't even understand that the community is probably the best diversified community that you could ever be a part of. Like,
it's all different walks of life. My closest friends are cigar smokers just because you spend so much time with them.
And what other community is like that? Like, I don't know of any. Like, you could be going to a coffee shop, but that coffee shop is going to be a coffee shop of a certain neighborhood, which is automatically going to bring you a certain demographic. You have a cigar shop, you have people from all demographics come into that shop.
Yeah. And then you just spend so much intimate time with them. Like one of our shops, Amy, down the road, unfortunately, one of their customers, his name was Bob, really nice man. I met him. He brought his dog in. He died recently. And I remember
he was Kenny family.
Kenny was saying, he's like, I didn't realize I was going to get so hurt by that. Like, it was just such like, it was like the floor just dropped underneath him. And because you get to know people, like they're coming in once, two, three times a week, you know, sitting for an hour, talking with you. You share so much of yourself when you walk into a cigar shop, even on casual conversations. So you do build these interesting relationships, and just the conversations alone, just all of things.
They go everywhere. Funny, yes.
Even political, but it's always in good spirits, always in good spirits. It's a very... like, and that's the thing, like, especially when content creators, it's, you need to create stuff that is always going to be attractive to that demographic.
Right. Absolutely. And so I did an episode probably 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago. And the episode is called 530 Fred. And 530 Fred was a German immigrant that moved to America, went and served in Vietnam, came home, built a life, and he was at our cigar shop for years. And when he passed away, I went to the funeral because he was family, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, you don't build those kind of relationships going to a coffee shop. Mm-mm. But that's just me. Anyway, hey, we already know that Rob has to go see a doctor because he's old and, you know, they got to, you know, stick their finger up my butt every so often. And so we're going to go do that. And
Let me tell you as a secret. I don't know how old you are. Well, you know, you're 34. When you get to the age that they have to check for colon cancer, when you go, always take your own lube.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
What's your favorite, Rob?
Vanilla. What's your favorite? Vanilla cream. Anyway, hey, thank you for taking the time and hanging out with us today. And we will talk soon. I can't wait to smoke the new Leandas.
Yes.
And you guys, make sure you look down in the show notes and play the McAuliffe Minute. And Lauren, tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
So McAuliffe Cigars, follow us there. I also do post on my own at Triple Maduro. So I do both. So you can follow either one of them. Yeah.
She made that name back when she really loved Maduros.
Yeah, I did.
My name is Rebrand. Yes. Well, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Thank you. All right, all right, all right. We're back. Hey, Lauren, thanks for coming and hanging out, doing the interview. Whoa, you all right over there?
Yeah, I had to reposition.
I heard. Thought the whole studio was lifting off for Mars.
Nah.
Anyway, we decided to do the McAuliffe Minute while we were with Lauren. So, boo-boo.
Here we go.
We've done that now. So, let's jump into our pick six of the week. We'll let you go first.
As usual.
Yep. Hey, you know what? I like tradition.
So, it's tradition now.
It's gotcha. Tradition.
Gotcha.
You know.
And all three of my pick six this week are new sticks that were sent to us that I tried.
Oh, interesting.
The first one was the Naturo Connecticut Toro 6x52. It's Ecuadorian wrapper, binder, and a Dominican filler. That was, you tried it, and you actually said you liked it.
Yeah. I didn't care for the Connecticut, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, what was the name of that one?
The Naturo, because remember we had a conversation about, was it Nat Oro or you came up with
Net Zero.
Yeah, so many names for it. And I was like, nah, bro, none of them work. So,
but anyway, hey, Naturo, thanks for sending us the cigars. We liked them. Really liked the Maduro.
Most definitely.
Did you like the Connecticut?
Yeah. I liked the Connecticut and the Maduro.
I didn't care for it.
I did.
It was a little light for me.
Well, we know.
I mean, you know, I didn't.
You haven't made it to the far dip on it yet. You still taking your ride, so we're good with you on that. Next was the Casa 19 Calvary Edition Lucero 6x54. And that had that Ecuadorian Habano Maduro wrapper with the San Andreas binder and a Nicaraguan filler. That thing was leathery and sweet. It wasn't acid sweet, but it had a little sweetness to it, but that leather was throughout the entire stick. That was a good stick, man. I took a few pictures of that. It surprised me because you gave me all of them except one again, and I was like, man, I'm glad he gave me all of these. I am, because dude, they were great. They were some great sticks, man. And my last one on my list this week was the Don Lino Africa, the 5x50. And that was the Dominican and Nicaraguan.
Where did that come from?
I don't know who sent us those.
I get one?
Yeah, you got one. And we actually smoked them.
What was the name of it?
The Don Lino Africa.
Oh, that guy is in the Discord.
Yeah, with the Cameroon binder and the Habano wrapper. Dude, that whew.
If I remember correctly.
Spicy to leather.
You were like going on and on about how badass the cigar is.
That was a bad stick.
Mine, the construction blew up in my face.
Yeah. And you said, because when you brought them out of the humidor, you didn't even let me pick. You looked at him. He's like, no, you take this one. I was like, okay. Then he's like, damn.
Doesn't matter.
How?
It's like, if I handed you the one that was going to explode, the little voice on my shoulder would be like, no, no, don't do that one.
You take the other one. You give him the other one.
I'm like, you know what? You're fucking me. You are fucking me, bro.
Nah, bro. It's just that.
No, not you.
I know. You're talking about my shoulder.
That's little Bob.
Oh, man. But those three were some great sticks that I had never smoked before. And I took a ride with them, bro.
Man, and you know what? Finding good sticks when you're exploring is always a good thing. And, you know, because I'm going to be straight up. Like, a lot of times when I try new cigars,
the experience is, yeah, that was fine.
Gotcha.
Or that sucked.
Yeah.
It's rare that you're like, yeah, I want to smoke that again.
Yeah.
I want to, when you're on that exploring journey, but you know what? That's what it takes in order to get to a level to where you know a ton of cigars
you want
to smoke.
Oh, yes. And my three again were the Naturo, Connecticut Toro 6x52, the Casa 1910 Calvary Edition Lucero 6x54, and the Don Lino Africa 5x50.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
You. So, here's my three. Right out the gate, the first one on my list is what you gave me yesterday. Gave me a Baca. I have no idea which one.
The Pygmy? Yes.
Okay. So, Romacraft, we don't need all the bullshit names, okay, people? You know what I mean? Just tell me what size it is. But anyway, I don't need to have to. I don't want to chart to figure out the ring gauges.
The ring gauges, I got you.
A Pygmy.
However.
Anyway, all right. That was a great cigar. In fact, you gifted me one and we traded.
Yeah.
I got two. And I smoked two back to back.
Yep.
That was actually really good.
It was sitting there watching, I was like, he really likes them. It was like that Mikey commercial. He likes it. Hey, Mikey.
Yeah.
But so, I love those, man. You know I do.
Here's my number two.
Okay.
These are in no order.
Okay.
But so I went in the humidor and I saw like three boxes of Southern Draw. Uh-huh. And I'm a Southern Draw fan.
Yes, sir.
And they had one that was like a greenish, or not, it was not greenish. It was green.
And gold, yeah.
Gold wrapper. And I don't remember the name of it. I think it's Guana. I'm making that up.
I was just going to say, because I don't remember that.
It started with a G or a C. I don't remember, all right?
We know Sam knows.
Yeah, anyway. But when I got to the counter, I also bought Texas Rose, the yellow rose.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go check out. I got those two cigars. And I'm like, hey, have you had this to Brian? And he was like, yeah, I had it. I didn't care for it. And you know what? That's always what you want to fucking hear when you're buying a new cigar is, I didn't care for it. You know what I mean? You're like, all right, well, fuck off. I'm going to smoke it anyway. And so I did. And so anyway, I go back in the back and I sit down next to Sam and I cut it. And I'm like, dude, look at the cut on this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's such a, like, like quick drop off on the tip that when you cut it, it's not a torpedo because it's almost still just as big as the main part of the cigar.
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
And I was like, I love that. And so anyway, I lit it up, started smoking it, and I was like, dude, this is really good.
Mm.
Like, hats off to Southern Draw. This is out of the park good.
Mm.
And so I'm smoking it, and I get about halfway through, and I'm like, dude, this is blowing me away.
And he's talking about Wilcoxon, not me.
Yeah.
The brand. Yeah.
But anyway, I look down, and that's not the cigar I'm smoking. I'm smoking the Yellow Rose.
Yes.
So my Yellow Rose makes the list.
Because he's like, wait a minute, that's not the one
Dude. I was just getting excited on how good that cigar was because, and then I was like, oh, well, that, of course it's this good. It is one of my favorite cigars.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so anyway, it didn't make the pick six list. I did end up smoking the Southern Draw.
Uh-huh.
Didn't care for it.
Okay.
In fact, I only smoked half of it.
And put it out.
I was like, fuck this. Give me a good cigar.
Yeah, and that's when you got the Baca.
And I'm not saying it's a bad cigar.
It just wasn't for you.
My palate didn't care for it. It
just wasn't for you.
So, you know, hey, people over at Southern Draw, lighten up. I love a lot of your cigars. So then, number three this week. Such a tough choice, to be honest with you. Are you okay over there?
Uh-huh.
It looks like that sofa is fighting you.
No, I was trying to find my lighter.
Oh, okay. Oh, it sounds like a damn jet taking off on the runway. shit.
You need to quit.
Well, I'm just saying. All right, so my number three this week, it's, you know what? It's a cheat.
It's a cheat?
It's a cheat. I mean, it's like, oh, I can't think of another one. I'll just throw this one in because I smoked one of those. The number six, Padron 1906. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that it's is like, a cheat.
If I smoke one of those in a week, it makes the list. I don't always use it because, you know, it's always going to make the list. Yeah. So it is what it is.
Yeah. That was a good pick six, now, though, bro.
Yeah, it was. Did I tell you, you know, I've had a little extra stress on me.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife said, just, you know what, go get a massage. So I went and got a massage.
Mm.
And it's been forever, right?
Yeah.
And anyway, dude, right out of the gate, a dude walks in.
Oh.
And I'm like, you know what? I mean, I'm not homophobic, but that's not really my idea of relaxing. Anyway, I come home, my wife's like, how was it? And I'm like, a man massaged me. And she was like, well, so what? That should be great. And I was like, is it normal to get an erection when, you know, there's two dudes in there in a room like that? And my wife's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't like it because he kept putting it in my face. And that's the joke of the week.
Done!
That's the joke of the week.
He kept putting it in your face.
I was like, dude, get that out of here.
Oh, my God, man.
Keep rubbing the shoulders, but get the dick out of my face. You know what I mean? That's Zeke, not fun.
Zeke, I get you, boy. Please.
Telling you.
Oh, my God, man.
You heard any good jokes lately?
No.
Did anybody tell you jokes other than me?
Nope.
Really?
Nope. And that one was like the visual. Oh, come on, man. And you stayed for the whole massage?
Well, you know, it was in his shorts. So there was a barrier.
I'm good, man. I'm good.
But I definitely could see it.
I'm
you
good.
Know?
I'm good.
Made me feel small.
Oh, my God. I'm good.
Hey, his name was Finn.
What is the song of the week? What is all the right. song of the week, man?
Hey, guys, that's the end of the show. And if you made it all the way to this point, thank you for listening.
Please.
Really. Seriously.
Please come back.
I know a lot of people are like, I'm please done come with back. That show. But that's all right, you know.
Please come back.
If you're completely, like, normal, you're not going to like it. I'm just going to tell you that. But, hey, here is... Oh, I messed it up. Whoa. Nope, that's not what I did.
How do you end up...
Excuse me. All right, here we go. Song of the week, and this is us out, guys. Have a good one.
to be so cool. Oh, and when I saw you yesterday, baby, you know you tried to be so cool. But you know all the time I knew now, babe, I knew I'd been a fool. You know ain't your child, baby.